Picture a Saturday afternoon in July. You're standing on the ramp, airplane fueled, family loaded, and there's a line of building cumulus off to the west. The question isn't whether those cells are going to turn into thunderstorms. They are. The question is, when do you have 90 minutes to get airborne and clear the area, or do you have 20? For most of aviation history, that was a guess dressed up as a forecast. Today, there's a piece of software that answers that exact question, and it re-enters it every hour, on the hour, all day long. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct, the show where we take the technology behind modern flying apart to see what actually makes it tick. Today, we're getting into the single most useful weather model most pilots have never heard of by name, even though a lot of you are looking at its output every time you open a flight planning app. It's called the HRRR. That's the High Resolution Rapid Refresh. Let's break this down. Before we go further, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If you've got a check ride coming up, or somebody in your life who just passed one, that's a gift that actually means something. AviationSoul.com. So let's start with what a weather model even is, because the word gets thrown around loosely. A numerical weather model is a giant physics simulation of the atmosphere. You take the current state of the air, the temperature, the pressure, the moisture, the wind at millions of points, and you feed it into equations that describe how fluids and heat move. Then you let the computer step that simulation forward in time. A few minutes of simulated atmosphere, then a few more until you've got a picture of what the sky should look like 6 hours or 12 hours or 2 days from now. Every forecast you've ever seen traces back to a model like this. Now here's the thing that separates the good ones from the great ones for our purposes. Resolution and refresh rate. Resolution is the size of the grid. Imagine laying a checkerboard over the whole country and calculating the weather in each square. If your squares are 13 kilometers across, roughly 7 nautical miles, then anything smaller than that square is invisible to the model, and a thunderstorm updraft? That's a couple of miles wide. So a coarse model can't actually see a thunderstorm. It can only sense that the conditions are ripe for storms in a general area, and it fakes the rest with a statistical shortcut called convective parameterization. It's basically the model saying, there should be about this much storm activity somewhere in this box, but don't ask me where. The HRR throws that shortcut out. The HRR runs on a 3-kilometer grid, under 2 nautical miles per square, coast to coast across the continental United States. And at 3 kilometers, you cross a threshold that meteorologists call convection allowing. The grid is now fine enough that the model can actually grow an individual thunderstorm inside the simulation. It doesn't have to guess that storms will form. It builds them, cell by cell, and it shows you where it thinks they'll pop and which way they'll track. That is a genuinely different kind of forecast. Here's what most people miss. The HRR isn't giving you a better version of the old area forecast. It's giving you a fundamentally different product, an actual simulated radar picture of an afternoon that hasn't happened yet. Now, the second piece, refresh rate. The HRR updates every hour, a fresh run top to bottom 24 times a day, and most of those runs forecast out 18 hours with the longer runs at the 4 synoptic times reaching out to 48. Why does hourly matter so much? Because convection is a fast, chaotic beast. A forecast of a summer squall line that was made 12 hours ago is working with 12-hour-old information about a situation that reorganizes itself every 15 minutes. The HRR is constantly folding in the newest data and starting over. So, when you refresh your app at noon, and again at 1 o'clock, and the storm timing shifts, that's not the app being flaky. That's a brand new supercomputer run that just ingested another hour of reality. And that brings me to the ingredient that really makes the HRR special: radar. The data tells an interesting story here. Most models are fed mainly by the balloon soundings, the surface stations, the satellites, the aircraft reports. The HRR eats all of that too, but it also swallows the National Radar Mosaic, the actual returns from the NEXRAD network, and it does it in a clever way. In the moments before each hourly run kicks off, the model assimilates radar reflectivity in roughly 15-minute chunks over the preceding hour. Think about what that means. The model isn't just told the atmosphere is unstable. It's shown the storms that already exist, right now on radar, and it uses them to nudge its own simulated storms into the right place before it starts forecasting forward. Meteorologists call this radar reflectivity assimilation, and it's a big part of why the HRRR is so good in that 0 to 6 hour window. the exact window you care about when you're deciding whether to launch. So, who builds this thing? The HRR is a product of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. It was developed largely at their laboratory in Boulder, Colorado, the group now known as the Global Systems Laboratory, and it runs operationally at the National Centers for Environmental Prediction on the National Weather Supercomputers. Under the hood, the version most of us have been using is built on a research model called the WRF, the Weather Research and Forecasting Model, in its advanced research configuration. And here's a detail I love as an engineer. This whole system grew out of the research community and got pulled into operational service, went live nationally back in 2014, and has been upgraded roughly every year or two since. Each version got a little sharper. Better handling of low clouds, better icing signals, better wind fields near the surface. Okay, promise is one thing. Let's be honest about the limits, because I will never sell you vaporware on this show, and a weather model is a tool with sharp edges. Limit number one. The HRRR can see a storm, but it cannot tell you the exact street corner. There's a concept forecasters lean on hard called the difference between skill and detail. The model has genuine skill. It knows there will be a line of storms cutting across your route between 3 and 5 in the afternoon. But if it draws that line 10 or 15 miles east of where it actually sets up and shifts the timing by an hour, that's completely normal and expected. Do not fly the pixels. Fly the pattern the pixels are showing you. Limit number two, and this is the big one. For most of its life, the HRRR has been what we call deterministic. One run, a single answer. It does not by itself tell you how confident it is. And a confident-looking wrong answer is the most dangerous kind. The real pros deal with this by comparing consecutive runs. If the noon run and the 1 o'clock run and the 2 o'clock run all paint that squall line in about the same place at about the same time, your confidence should climb. If the storms jump around every single run, the atmosphere is telling you it hasn't decided yet, and neither should you. There's an experimental ensemble version, the HRRR ensemble, that runs multiple members to get at that uncertainty directly, but the everyday product in your app is usually the single deterministic run. Treat it accordingly. Limit number three. It's a short-range tool, 18 hours, mostly. This is not the model for planning next weekend's trip. It is the model for this afternoon and this evening. Use the right tool for the time frame. And limit number four, the honest engineering one. This costs a fortune in compute. We're running a 3-kilometer simulation over the entire country 24 times a day on a deadline, because a forecast that arrives late is worthless, is a brutal computational problem. That cost is exactly why the grid is 3 kilometers and not one, and why the forecast stops at 18 hours and not 48 for most runs. Every one of those numbers is a trade-off between how good the forecast could be and how fast the machine can actually deliver it. So where do you actually touch the HRR as a pilot? More places than you'd think. When you pull up the graphical forecasts for aviation on the aviationweather.gov site, a lot of those short-range depictions lean on high-resolution guidance like this. When you look at simulated radar or a convective forecast layer in the big flight planning apps, the ones a lot of you fly with, you're very often looking at HRRR output, even when the app just labels it forecast radar. When your electronic flight bag shows you a future radar loop, animating storms forward in time, that future came from a convection-allowing model, and in this country, that usually means the HRRR or its cousins. Here's how I'd fold it into a real decision. Say it's that July Saturday from the top of the show. You don't just glance at the current radar, because current radar only tells you about the storm that already exists. You pull the forecast radar loop, you watch where the model grows new cells over the next 3 or 4 hours, and then, critically, you refresh it an hour later and see whether the new run agrees with the old one. Two runs in agreement is a plan. Two runs that disagree is a warning that the atmosphere is unpredictable today, which is itself the single most useful thing a model can tell you. That right there is the mature way to use this technology. Not as an oracle that tells you the future, as an incredibly fast, incredibly detailed second opinion that you cross-examine. Now let me point you toward where this is all heading. Because the HRRR as we know it is actually on its way out, and that's a good thing. The WRF model it's built on is aging research code. NOAA is in the middle of a major transition to a new unified system. The successor is called the Rapid Refresh Forecast System, the RRFS, and it's built on a completely different and more modern engine, a dynamical core called the FV3, the same family of core that runs the big American global model. The idea is to stop maintaining a whole zoo of separate models, the global one, the HRRR, the older rapid refresh, each with its own quirks, and consolidate onto one modern cloud and supercomputer-friendly framework. And crucially, the RRFS is designed to be an ensemble from the ground up. Multiple members baked in, so the uncertainty we talked about earlier stops being something you have to reverse engineer by comparing runs, and becomes a number the system just hands you. That is exactly the right direction. A forecast that knows how much it doesn't know is worth more than a sharper forecast that's silently overconfident. The honest timeline? This kind of operational transition never happens overnight. These models get run in parallel with the old ones for a long stretch, while forecasters build trust and work the bugs out, and dates have moved before, as they always do in this business. But make no mistake, the machine that's been quietly timing your thunderstorms is being replaced by something built to be smarter about its own limits. So let me leave you with the frame I actually want you to carry out to the airplane. The HRR represents a shift from forecasts that describe the atmosphere to forecasts that simulate it. From a model that says storms are likely in your area to one that grows the storms in front of you and lets you watch them move. That's a remarkable piece of engineering. 3 kilometers every hour. Radar-fed, coast-to-coast. But it is a simulation, not a prophecy. The pilots who get the most out of it are the ones who understand what it can and can't see, who watch it change run to run, and who let a disagreeing forecast make them more humble, not less. My thanks to NOAA and the Global Systems Laboratory in Boulder for the public documentation on how this system is built and where it's going, and to the aviation weather resources at the National Weather Service that put this output in front of us for free. You can find us at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Next time you refresh that forecast radar and the storms have moved, you'll know exactly what just happened behind the glass. Fly smart out there.